So, let's see. I named my sermon The Legitimate Truth. And because I was considering how the enemy really has a counterfeit. And he's always trying to make us more and more look more and more illegitimate, more and more phony. Fairy tales are to counter our realities, the historic realities that we've known to be truthful concerning all the events that have happened since the beginning, since Genesis 1. And what I want to do is try to bring some light into the darkness that's covering the earth. And I always say that, and but it's true. There was darkness that covered the face of the deep, and Isaiah says that there's thick darkness covering the earth right now, and that darkness, I believe, is a lie. And so we'll just move right into this sermon. So it's the Christmas season, and you know, this is the time where typically I see some people are still decorating their homes and things, but we have COVID going on, and presidential debate and all kinds of crazy stuff going on right now that looks like it might be even might have serious effects on our future, global future. You know, so, you know, I know we may try to just find some kind of reasoning or some kind of rationale for being happy. But we believers, we're going to have to understand that our happiness is truly going to come from Jesus. And so we have... you know, in the midst of all that's going on, I was thinking about the movies that used to come on, like Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life and stuff like that. That, you know, it's all happy-go-lucky in the end, and it's all celebrate fellowships and all of this stuff, you know, and Santa Claus and all that stuff, him coming down the chimney and all of this stuff. So, you know, it's like we find a way to try to overcome the seriousness. I mean, it's even like the news will report something very negative and then right away just cut and dry report some funny, uplifting something. It's like whether they're trying to give a balance or not, I think we don't spend enough time looking at the negative things that are going on, and we should be praying, watching and praying. And then at the same time, we might want to escape into what the world is trying to tell us is, here's the fun, festive time of year. And actually, for those that believe that this is Christmas and you know, the Christmas season and everything, you know, it's not hard to piggyback or join in. What we don't want to do is just become sorrowful and downplay, you know, joy and rejoicing. What we do want is to make sure and stay within the confines of what God is trying to teach us, is true happiness. And so what I'm, you know, it's kind of hard for me, but what I'm going to try to convey is some of the things based on Mary's experience when she, you know, had her encounter with Gabriel and then gave birth to Jesus and that sort of thing. So in Daniel 8, 17 through 26, the verse says, "And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euli, and it called, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.' So he came near where I stood, and when I came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, 'Understand, O son of man, the vision is for the time of the end. And then Daniel 9:21-23 says, "While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in a vision at first, came to me in a swift flight, and at the end of the evening sacrifice, he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, 'O Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.'" Then Luke 1:19 says, "The angel answered him and said, 'I am Gabriel.'" Now this is Gabriel speaking to Zechariah, who had doubt about his wife's pregnancy. And the angel said emphatically, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." I read all those scriptures, kind of give us a vision of not only Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, so he's something. God gave him the right to stand in his presence. But that he did mention a few things. He mentioned that Daniel was greatly loved. You know, I'd like to think I was greatly loved. Greatly loved. That adjective right there is, well, is that an adjective or adverb? Anyway, but greatly loved. Therefore, you know, if that to me is when you don't feel like you're loved at all. Sometimes, you know, they hear that you're greatly loved or something, is that like more than you expected. But you know, and I'm not saying that Daniel might have felt unloved or anything like that, but it's like, who's greatly loving him? You know, it's like, this is a message. Gabriel's a messenger. So this is a message from God that you're greatly loved. And that's a great message, you know. And then, let's see, in Luke 1:26-38, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with the Lord. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And before your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son.'" And behold, I'm sorry. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So again, Gabriel, he gave understanding to Daniel about what he was seeing in his visions, and called him greatly loved. He described to him how God felt about him. And, you know, to Mary, he told her of future events, and even told her how God felt about her, right? And then to Zechariah, he corrected Zechariah and told him, you shut up, because, you know, you're not believing me, you know. And then he points to, he points everybody that he's talking to Christ. Everybody has something to do with Christ when Gabriel shows up, which is amazing to me. Now, the Bible says that Mary would travel to visit Elizabeth during her 6 months pregnancy, and so she remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. Now, I'm not sure if Mary helped Elizabeth deliver the baby, but that would seem to me like, wouldn't that seem like perhaps why you go and help her? You know, maybe you're a midwife now or something, but the Bible doesn't say that. I won't guess either. By the time she got back, though, she may have been visibly pregnant herself. Because I think you can start showing in about 12 weeks, right? And she's about 3 months or something. Yeah, you know. Yeah, or at least she had that glow. You know how the women say, they you should know.
No. So anyway, well, both of you should know.
It's a lot to think about, and I guess, but there are always certain things to consider when we study historical events. This we do know. Her fiancé, Joseph, became aware of her pregnancy. And if it weren't for an angel speaking to him in a dream, her claim would have been more than likely dismissed. And Joseph was minded to divorce her quietly. The announcements and Gabriel's announcements to Mary might have sounded really good at first. That is, until the ramifications of such an episode and, you know, and what God is calling her to come to life. I mean, it's not like Gabriel called the whole town together and made an announcement that Mary was going to be the bear, the Son of God. He told her, and obviously Elizabeth knew, because her baby jumped when she went to visit her, and then she started prophesying, and she was filled with the Spirit and all of this stuff. So she knew, but, you know, it wasn't like it was like, oh, okay, so I just won American Idol or anything, right? It's like this was, and then, you know, you have to think about it. How do you survive a family, you know, throughout this period of time that, you know, you actually are, your story is, you were miraculously impregnated, right? This is it's a big story. Now, most of us have heard this before. I don't think it's a bad thing to revisit. You know, I think it's a good thing to consider some of the factors involved here. Why would I say Mary would have to endure or, you know, face ridicule? Well, John 7:1 says, when his brothers were trying to get him to go to, you know, the yearly festival. After this, Jesus went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Booths was at hand. So his brother said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing." And the Bible says that, for no one who works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. His brothers are telling him how to go get big, go become a big name Pharisee. And but the Bible says that for not even his brothers believed in him. Now, that means something. So I grew up in a house with a bunch of brothers and sisters, and, you know, I don't necessarily, probably don't look like them. I don't have the same father. Might look like mother, you know, I'm not sure, but, you know, but then there's this, this story that, you know, we've heard, and the neighbors have heard, and that mother had you differently, right? And if I don't believe you are who you say you are, obviously I don't believe mother is telling the truth, or this account is far-fetched, because I don't believe you are who you say you are. Mother's wrong somewhere, right? So we have a dysfunction going on in our family that is peculiar. This woman's story is that this kid growing up, now a man, has grown up, you know, is the Son of God, right? And that she had him, you know, in the way she claims she had him. Maybe, what do the neighbors think? What would Mary have had to contend with for all these years, right? It's something to think about. The fact that Jesus' own brothers didn't believe in him speaks to their belief in Mary. Angel and pregnancy. Again, we just have to settle for the fact that something's wrong with our mother. You know, maybe she was very naive and gullible, and some guy walked up to her and told her he was an angel. Right? You know, I mean, all kinds of thoughts can come to your mind, especially when you hear an extraordinary account. That's extraordinary, you know. Now, in Bible days, now Mary and Joseph and Jesus and all of these guys are 2,000 years out from, you know, the journey across the Red Sea and all this kinds of sort of stuff, you know. Now, they're not opposed to miraculous events. They've heard this, but by this time, yeah, they're at, these are traditions that our family believes from way back, because we stray away over the course of time. It's like, yeah, I'm a Hebrew and I'm going to the festival and stuff, but I'm a Christian and I'm going to church, but, you know, I like church. You know, here I am. I like it. I got my friends and all of this kind of sort of stuff. You don't believe Noah's Ark? Oh, nah. You know, what? Oh, and 8 people floating around on the whole earth covered in, you know. So we can begin to detach from what people that actually experienced these things were very connected to. So over the course of time, we become more and more detached. And this is one of the reasons why I know the Lord would always institute and always insist that repeat these things, repeat them so that, you know, you don't lose focus. I'm able to do what I do, and this was foretold, and it happened. Poor Mary, you know, she had a lot to deal with. Now, who can she tell the story to? Imagine if it happened to any one of you, and then and you went home and told your own mother, you know, I'm going to have a baby, you know, and Mary might have been 12, 14 or something. I don't know. They were young then, young brides. But, you know, the first thing you might think is that, you know, I didn't count on putting money aside for therapy. You know, this is going to cost. This is, you know, right? This is, now here we're doing, you know, this isn't rational, you know, so let me try to work with her, you know, and tell me what happened, baby. You know, I want to know. It's like an angel. You might immediately think things are going south. Where Mary was bright and all of this, you know, now she's talking really insane. How do you tell your betrothed? Joseph might have thought that she'd been pranked, you know, or something, or somebody pranked her, tricked her, whatever the case may be. How long would you have to endure skepticism and humiliation before you're proven truthful? I think Jesus' first miracle was at Canaan, right? So she waits 32 years, 33 years before finally this is starting to show up to be true. I mean, it's a long wait. It's just, he makes statements like, you know, didn't you know I have to do my father's business and all this kind of sort of stuff when they went to the temple. Mary treasured those things in her heart, right? But it's like, do something that all these people can see, right? Come on now, because all this time, you know, I'm the laughing stock. You know, it would be cool if you could just really do something, part something, you know, just do something. But you know God, and His timing is right, and He's not going to move outside of His timing. But I mean, blessed are those of us that can wait on the timing of the Lord. Bless the Lord. And Mary is a model for that. Her story models that. Moving on, the day of her vindication, you know, would come later on in life. If Jesus' brothers didn't believe he was who he claimed, then they didn't believe Mary. But what I'm trying to do is trying to give us an understanding of how the Lord would have us to respond. Situations in our lives where perhaps we've been unfairly accused, or we're all sinners, but some things that I have had to live with all my life that I'm waiting for vindication for. It's like, you know, when is this coming? You know, I find myself talking to myself. you know, I really didn't do what someone said I did, or something, or this accusation is so false. And Mary, she was, I heard a preacher some years ago say, you know, when angels visit people, they fall down. But Mary's like, okay, so be it, you know, so be it, you know, I'll take it on. She did not. When angels visit you, you lose your life. I think it was Daniel that was described as having fallen into a deep sleep. And, you know, when you talk about sleep, you mean dead. But Mary's like, let's see here. Okay, well, now I'm a virgin. Okay, well, let it be. She's talking to Gabriel, the same. I commend Mary there, too. Things unfold, I don't suppose we fully realize until they do just what it is that we signed up for. We signed up for something that we're going to have to suffer some things. We are going to suffer some stuff, some humiliation and ridicule, false accusations, all kinds of lies and assaults. We're going to be made to look like we're against everything that's positive and right for the world, fires, Nero blamed the fire on the Christians. We're gonna get blamed for stuff. We're gonna be tethered and targeted. And this is not just people. It's people that are listening to the power of the voice of the enemy. He's got a very powerful voice right now because it appears he owns the media, if not 80-90% of it. Okay, so he gets to say, and what he says, people are, going by. I like the news. I used to really love the news. I thought it's the thing to do, wake up and hear KTVU and, Dennis Richmond and all these people just chatting about different things that are going on in the world today. I can't wake up to that anymore. It's not the same. The integrity is really dying out. News reporters are not under any mandate to, fairly tell things. I mean, right now, you can lie and lies are acceptable. And I'm not saying that they're making individual personal lies. I think the lies are coming in because if you look across the nation, you'll hear the same things repeated at various broadcasts. It's like, here's the script. Read the script. So I don't know. But I know this, though. Our time of vindication is coming. Jesus must have had a pretty good reputation, is what I'm saying. Friends and neighbors and acquaintances all around, you he's a good kid, he grew up to be a fine young man, the Bible doesn't speak of him as some good-looking, he was comely-looking, the Bible doesn't, says he grew up strong, to be strong, and that sort of thing. But, obviously, can I get this? No, but obviously, there's this contention. Jesus is now stepping out. He actually did go to the festival in the temple, and then the people were amazed, and they started making references to him. How does he know these things? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And from Nazareth, and all of this stuff. He was known by a lot of people, or at least his reputation was known. But when he started speaking to the Pharisees and making it a point to tell their heart's desire, which was to kill him, they said he had a demon. And then he told them, you're doing the works your father did. And he's speaking of Satan. But then they tell Jesus, well, we weren't born out of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Mm-hmm. So they started getting really nasty. And where would they get this information from, right? So this kind of validates what I'm saying, that this story of Mary's, it got around. It floated around. You know what I mean? And now if I did an investigation on you to disprove you, like people do today, and especially in politics, and I find that this is gold. your mother thinks you're God, you know, and she says that, no, she slept with an angel, you know what I mean? Oh, here, I didn't want to say it, but since you're saying I'm the son of the devil, then let me tell you, you know, your mama, you know, right? And so it's like, I mean, come on. So we have, we have blows going back and forth, right? And this is really, it's really in signaling or bringing light to what this woman has had to deal with all these years, right? In order to serve, to be a servant of the Lord. That's what she said. You know, I'm his servant. And she started serving. Whether she knew it or not, you have to serve in ways that you're going to have to put up with some stuff, okay? And then you got your own kids looking at you cross-eyed, right? This is like, you know, they don't even believe, right? And so, you know, you'd want, like a lot of us, to vindicate ourselves. You know, look, this has to come to a, I need my clear name. But no, vindication is the Lord's. He's going to prove us. We're not guilty of everything that someone conjures up. You know, we've all done bad things. There's no way, none of us haven't. The pain in bearing a false accusation is one thing. In the day of our vindication, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for. So it's good that we don't. And I think that, you know, one of the things that we're doing here is learning about the Spirit at our church. And one of the things that we can't do is exaggerate something. If I'm telling a story, I can't add to it for whatever reason, for the sake of, you know, making it, you know, exploiting it. What we can't do is add on or take from. We're going to start being precise because God wants us to be precise, mm-hmm. especially when we're giving an account of something or someone, because this matters. We don't like it. God doesn't like it. And so no one's going to like it if they're being unfairly regarded or something they did or said is unfairly stated, right? But the day of reconciliation or vindication, it's coming. So it's coming, and God's timing is going to come. Clearing can take a while. People are social with you when they know something about you, you know. And I don't know if it's just me, but maybe most of us will hold some kind of something on someone else where, you know what I mean? We don't necessarily want to let that go, though we said we did, but, you know, we still remember, and that's artillery for later on, you know? It's kind of like, I don't know. I know that that God forgives fully. You know, he tosses our sin out from, as far as the east is, from the west. It's like, that's an attribute. It's hard to do in and of ourselves is supernatural, because God is supernatural, but it's like, no, if he wants us to really forgive, then forgiveness is going to have to be our MO, and so we need to find out from him just how to do that, and so we need to forgive fully. But, you know, if they're social with you, but you know they hold an estimate of your life that relegates your claims, you follow Jesus, the Son of God? Okay, yeah, I do. The Son of God, yes, he is. You know, you follow him, I really do. You know, once you make that claim, they're looking to prove that you don't. And they're going to look for days you didn't. And they're going to dig up those days. And they're going to dig up the things you said and the stuff that went on and what you were involved with and all of this kind of sort of stuff. Because even if it's not their mission, you invalidate their life, their stand. My life if I compare my life to a Christian, then I need to know why I need to be a Christian if I can see fault in a Christian, right? So I'm like, if in other words, you know, why do I need to be a Christian if I'm doing good things and the things I'm doing are better than the things you're doing? I don't hang out and get high, right? You're doing it and you're saying you follow the Lord, right? That's one thing, because I can see it. So what my choice is to eat meat consecrated to idols. If that's my choice and people see me doing that, then they're going to say, he's no different than me. Now, this isn't rocket science, because we measure ourselves by ourselves. And people that aren't believers, they also measure themselves by those that consider themselves to be Christians. This is why you see a lot of charity going on, a lot of different organizations that are secular or feeding the homeless and doing all kinds of sorts of, you know, stuff and stuff like this, is because, no, I have a heart. I have a heart like that. I don't need Christ. I have this heart. It's a good heart. But you follow Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God. And this is amazing to me when I actually have the same attributes or better than you do, and I don't follow him, right? So it's kind of like we need to be concerned with our look. Don't let your good be spoken evil of. Even if you have a license to do something, you need to be concerned. We need to be concerned with how we look. It's important. And I don't know about your license. We need to examine the licenses that you believe you have, you know, as a family, so we can see if this license is really, you know what I mean? Because at the same time, we do have a liberty in Christ, but it's not a liberty to sin. It's not a liberty for that. It's a liberty to be free of the sin that would otherwise have us tethered or chained. And so we kind of want to keep this in mind. So the people think they know you. And, you know, they think, aren't you the son of? I know your mom now, you know. And don't you come from? I know where you live. Yeah, I grew up in and around there, and some of it, you know, been all around you. And weren't you involved with many angels? You know, not an angel. And this is what I'm saying. Don't exaggerate. We can't. That first, this is skepticism. And then we're going to add to it all them angels, you know. And so, you know, it's like, no, so Mary treasured things in her heart. And I do believe she's a human being. I believe she treasured the day that she be vindicated. This, her life is like a fairy tale to people. And this is why I think, or her life story. And one of the things that the enemy does is he will get a fairy tale or like, and, you know, shoot these things out, angels or fairies and all this kind of sort of stuff to reduce our story. To reduce our life story, to make us look invalid and illegitimate. So our truth is legitimate. It's legitimate truth. I'm not a bastard. My mother did not sleep with many angels or many men or whatever the case may be. She, you know, these things I have to believe in my heart. And I need to believe these things in my heart and ongoing. And they need to be fortified in my heart. And the only way that that's going to happen is if I stay with the Lord, following his spirit. Because what could happen is I could change my story for the sake of my own reputation. I don't want to. Mary didn't want to. She didn't. But you could end up denying Christ because, look, for too long I've been suffering this. I'm not the woman at the well. I'm Mary. You know, I'm not the prostitute caught in adultery. That, you know, I'm Mary. I had a clean slate. You know, this angel approached me with this. You know, now I have to live under this shame. It's really, but she could do it, and we can do it. And we didn't have a clean slate. I'm not saying Mary was perfect. I'm just saying that the Bible's account was she was perfect for this job, you know. But Mary could do this thing, and we could actually do it. I'm not saying go and worship Mary, and please don't pray to her. You know, it's nothing like that. What I'm saying is that we should recognize her suffering. Recognize what she went through to follow Jesus, because she honestly followed him, right? You know, for the sake of proving we aren't the people we believe we are, we misrepresent his message, placing our hearts and minds into monastic and asceticism processes. You know, look, I've got this baggage, this history of mine. It's bad, okay? So when I think about my history, you know, sometimes I'm just blown away. And so it's bad. And so, but I can't put on holy robes, right? And start carrying on, you know, in a, what would you call a ceremonial processes and, you know, and then distance myself, right? Because I need to prove to someone I'm different. Look, I've been blasted so long trying to prove I follow Christ now. Now I should take it a step further and prove that I am Christ. You know, we don't go that far. We're not perfect. What we do is we follow the Spirit who's going to lead us into the truth. And what we're dealing with today is going to be every assault that's going to try to get us to quit following Jesus. And if that means the assault isn't working in one way, it could mean that, you know what, preserve yourself. Preserve your reputation. Prove to the people you really got this. Let them know you're different. This outward appearance is not what Mary took on. She didn't start a convent, right? Like the nuns. Okay, she didn't. Mary was there at her son's crucifixion. She showed up again at one point when the Bible says that your mother and brothers are here to see you. Mary was around with her family at the wedding in Canaan. So Mary was following her son. She had no reason not to believe her account. And she was storing in her heart all these things that were occurring in her life. Her story is some story. We don't have it all, but we'll get to meet Mary. Oh, we'll have all eternity to meet Mary. She's there. So I'm almost certain. And we'll get to meet her. So what's my point? You know, what somebody said to me one day, I was writing something. Where are you going with this? We have all kinds of attacks. We're going to be assaulted on all kinds of various ends. For who we are, you know, what we claim, our position, all our beliefs. You know, we're going to be scrutinized. We're going to be viewed as everything other than what we really are. And we're going to doubt from time to time what we really are. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be manifested as the sons and daughters of God. we're going to have to put aside our reputations, and we're going to have to follow Jesus loyally because he went to prepare a place for us. I think it's ironic that he turns to John and tells John, while he's on the cross, you know, this is your mother and this is your son, to his mother. John, you take care of her. Not my brothers, right? I got brothers. They weren't there. They weren't there at the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. Mary was there. You know, Mary stuck with it. Mm-hmm. Look, we follow Jesus. This is the bottom line. If nothing else, if Jesus isn't the way, then this preaching and everything we're doing is in vain. But we follow Jesus because he'll empower us to overcome every obstacle in assault. And there are going to be many. And so far, if we don't know it, there have been many. And we get stronger as we get more and more attacked. But we can do this thing. And so I would just like to express this opportunity to give this message today, you know, around Christmas, because I've been pondering Mary, treasuring her life in my heart. It's time that we kind of mentioned her. But salvation is the key. We want to make sure that we're sealed. We want to make sure that we're saved. And one way that we know is that we're not doubting God. We're not misrepresenting him for the sake of our own reputations. And we're not shouting God while we're doing everything lewd and lascivious. You know, what we're doing is we're following his spirit so that he can make us everything that he's called us. And this is what he wants. He wants to conform us into the likeness of his son. So, let's pray. I think I made that point. Let's pray.